Service. Pray that God will just be with us tonight in a special way. And I believe if we come desiring tonight, He will honor that desire. Without Him in our presence, without Him coming on the scene, it will just be us and us in much. Amen. Except in His sight. Amen. Let's sing that song, "We've Come Into His House, Gathered in His Name to Worship Him." Amen. Let's sing. We have come to His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house and gathered in
all my righteousness.
yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. Just forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Christ our Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now let's lift up all the hands to Him. Let us lift up all the hands and magnify His name and worship. Yes, Lord, we praise You tonight, Lord. Let's lift up all the hands and magnify His name and worship Him. Glory to God. Let us lift up all the hands and magnify His name and worship Christ our Lord. Sing the last verse one more time. Yes, He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. I stand complete in Him and worship Christ our Lord. So worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you ready to worship Him tonight? Praise His name. Let's sing that song. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Amen. He's worthy to be praised tonight. I will sing of the mercies. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, and with my mouth shall I make known Thy faithfulness, Thy faithfulness. With my mouth shall I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. Oh, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, and with my mouth shall I make known Thy faithfulness. With my mouth shall I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercy of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Let's give Him a good hand clap of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Hallelujah. His mercies are everlasting, ever enduring. Praise God. Again, we welcome each one tonight. Glad to have our visitors. I believe they're all the way from Romania. And Sharon and Damaris are going to sing for us tonight. So we're glad to have them with us tonight. Each one, glad to have each one listening in by way of internet. Pray that the Lord would bless you. We're going to take our prayer request. First request says, to please remember my daughter Sharon in prayer. We're at Shannon, isn't it? Shannon in prayer. And that's from Sister Amber. So let's remember her daughter Shannon tonight. I can't talk. Please pray for Sister Molly, who is having eye problems, and Mary Ann not feeling well tonight. So let's remember them tonight. Also, request from Sister Johnson says, pray for my father-in-law. Had emergency surgery on Monday evening. So we want to remember Sister Crystal's father-in-law that had emergency surgery Monday evening. Amen. Or on Monday. Yes, Monday evening. Maybe by an uplifted hand you have an unspoken request tonight. Ask Brother Joe to come as we pray. God sees every hand tonight. He sees every need. Amen. And He's ready and willing to meet those needs. Let's sing that song as Brother Joe comes. I worship you. I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace, that is what I will do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God.
Precious and dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. Tonight, Lord, you're just extra special to us all, Lord. We come with expectations tonight, Lord. Our heart's desire is to get that word that you would have us to have tonight, Lord. Let it drop in our heart. Let that revelation become real as we walk our journey, Lord, knowing the destination is near. All the signs of the time and everything, Lord, the way it's going, Lord, we see that your judgment will be near. But also, Lord, we see that precious rapture, that promise, Lord, that we're looking toward. Pray, Lord, that you just make ourselves ready, that you give us that faith to take that next step. Lord, those that have been able to put forth these requests, Lord Jesus, for health and Lord's and different reasons, Lord, I pray that you just go out and meet every need, Lord. Lord, just be with our pastor, Lord, as he's away for some rest, Lord. And Lord, just bless Brother Burley, Lord Jesus, and we'll give you all the honor and all the praise and all the glory for it all in Jesus' holy name.
Amen. Shake hands with each other tonight as you take your seats. We're going to ask Sharon and Damaris to come and sing tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise His name. you for the song tonight. Certainly want our eyes to be open. Amen. I believe He has a lot for us. Amen. Brother Keith's going to sing for us tonight. Good to have Brother Keith here. He's going to be changing jobs soon, and we'll have him all the time. So we miss him when he's not here. Amen. Miss each one of you when you're not here. Brother Keith.
It certainly is good to be here on a Wednesday night. A couple of weeks ago, my buddy, Brother Mike Canada, celebrated a birthday in heaven. I always appreciated Brother Mike so much. He always had something so wonderful and uplifting to me to say every time he seen me, and he always asked me to sing this song. So I just want to sing this song in memory of him. I can almost see the lights of that city. John tells of a city that he saw coming down, where no sorrow or death will be known. That someday we could go there through his marvelous grace, forever to live in that heavenly home. And I can almost see the lights of that city. I see them gathering all around the great white throne. Sometimes when I'm burdened and my cross seems hard to bear, and old Satan, he tries to dim my view, oh, I just look unto Jesus. He is standing close by.
let's stand as our ushers come tonight. Good to have Brother Burley with us. And he's always a blessing to us here, and we're just thankful he's with us tonight. Pray the Lord would just use him. Amen. However he would see fit to. And Brother Jeff, if you would pray over the offering this evening.
Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you.
Let's sing that song, Glory to His Name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to His name tonight. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Down where for cleansing from sin and I cried. And there in my heart was the blood of life.
Not very many, she found me over.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Made up my mind tonight to go through, haven't you? Amen. Go ask Brother Burley to get ready to come so we sing maybe another verse of that. Amen. So Brother Burley comes tonight. Oh, I'm going through, yes, I'm going through. I'll make the price, whatever others do. I'll make the way with the Lord who's by me. I've started with Jesus, I'm going through. Let me but follow. Jacob the stone, rather in vain worldly pleasures pursued, and turn from this pathway, fail to go through. Oh, I'm going through, yes, I'm
the Lord. I bless you this evening. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. It's been a little while since we've been up this way, but we're here by God's grace. My daughter, oh, there she goes right there. She came up with me. Amen. I'm surprised she didn't sing, but praise God. Are you happy tonight? If you will, I'd like to just go ahead and get into scripture. I want to go to First Samuel chapter 3. Appreciate the musicians. First Samuel chapter 3. Brother Barry texted me the other day and asked me to maybe give a missionary report for what the Tanzania trip we took just a couple months ago. When he asked me then, I was like, oh, well, I don't have a PowerPoint, nothing like that. So I guess I can make some comments and take you there in spirit. And you can just kind of maybe just get an idea of what happened there. So I didn't get to, even at my own church, I've been working on this PowerPoint, and I never finished it. They waiting on the missionary report, too. I guess I'm not too good at those sort of things. Maybe I can send the pictures up to Jeremy, let him use his imagination, get them worked out or something. But we'll get it done one day. Amen. Just been pretty busy. A lot been going on. And just ain't really have time to do too much of nothing. But, you know, study, preach at the church, and take care of things. But we'll do our best by God's grace. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, let's go to verse 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan, even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again unto Shiloh. In Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh, by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they was joined in battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore had the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. Excuse me. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwells between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli and Hophni. and Phinehas were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, the house of Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth this noise, this great shout, in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the Ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. A few more verses. And the Philistine was afraid, for they said, "God is coming to the camp." And they said, "Woe unto us, for there has not been such a thing hitherforth. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues and the wilderness. Be strong, quit yourself like man, O you Philistines, that you be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourself like men and fight." And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. Let's just pray. Father, we just want to thank you for the reading of your word. We just pray that you help us this evening. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I read the scripture here for a purpose, and we'll refer back to it, because this is one of the scriptures that we was dealing with when we was up in Tanzania. And me and Brother Steve, we actually went there, like I said, it's a couple of months ago. I can't even remember the dates right now, but that's okay. And it was a 12-day trip, and I really enjoyed it myself. I really did, because I was understanding that a lot of things was going over there in Tanzania with certain doctrines and things that they've been teaching over there. Some of the things that we dealt with over here, we're familiar with. Some of those areas where we went, they wasn't quite familiar with. And the brothers were telling me, but Elias was telling me, that some brothers just been kind of weaving in amongst the people, coming up with some of their own revelations and their own ideas. Which those things, brothers and sisters, is not strange to us. It's the same way it was in the Bible times, even in the book of Acts. You remember in the book of Acts, some was trying to come up amongst the brethren to try to pull the people back up under the law. So those spirits are not different. It might be different situations and things, but it's the same spirit. Amen. So we expect those things to happen, and I'm just thankful that, you know, one thing about the elect of God, you can't be deceived. Amen. That's what is more interesting to me. You can't be deceived. The elect can't be deceived. Now, that don't mean that you can't be led astray for a while and believe in something that you actually think that is right. But because you're elect, I believe that God will bring us right back and line us right back up in the word. I believe that with all of my heart. Amen. But you know, I guess myself, going to Africa, I really enjoy going to Africa. But I just notice some things a lot when I go over there. But my main motive and objective to go over there is to preach about Jesus Christ and show them about the word of the hour, what God is doing in this day, rightfully divided. Because the message itself is balanced, but people are unbalanced, and the message could bring a lot of damage. And that's why I'm thankful to the Lord for faithful men in the gospel that hazarded their lives, just like in the book of Acts, that go out and face the challenges of the day, not afraid to face those things. Because one thing for certain, God is going to always have a fivefold ministry. And some kind of had a doubts, and maybe that the fivefold ministry ain't doing this. I said, no. I said, God will always have a fivefold ministry. And it's not my job to know who they is and who they ain't. God know who's his ministers. He know who his true ministers are. And I would say this, God would keep his man. I believe that with all of my heart. You know, when we went over to Tanzania, we got there, I think it was on a Thursday. No, it was on a Friday. And then that Saturday morning, we had a service over there. Which I didn't know it was actually, I did know it because he texted me right before we come up there. They wanted to have a youth service before the regular service started. And then we kind of started off with a youth service. And it turned out pretty good. And I asked the brother, I said, "Would you just do me a favor? You know, we just got here and kind of tired, your mind all messed up from jet lag." I said, if you would do me a favor, just get the young people to write questions down, and we'll just let that be my primer. I said, I need to be kind of primed up, brother. Give me some questions. Because, you know, my mind was just kind of just locked down. But when then he, and I know Brother Elias said, you want them to write down questions. And he said it, and I just noticed how his face, he said, okay. So when I got to the church and he picked us up, he said, you wanted them, here they are. I think it was about 50 questions. And I said, well, brother, I said, there's no way we're going to be able to answer all of them. And of course, they was written in Swahili. I said, well, brother, you just interpret them for me, what they are, and I'll write them down myself in English. So we got to about 20 of them. I said, I think that would be enough. But it was some interesting questions, you know. And I thought it was kind of funny. I actually had the questions in my Bible that we had, they asked me over there. I didn't know they was still in my Bible, but they're there. And it was some sensitive questions. Some of them I wouldn't answer because I do understand that some questions that answer, I think it's a pastor's duty. Because you can get in trouble sometimes because that pastor might be believing something a little different. And then you could say something to the young person and then all of a sudden it caused a big old war. So some things I just won't answer. And I do that in respect to the ministry. Amen. That's what some does. I just do what the prophet of God said. He sometimes some questions will ask. He said, ask your pastor. Amen. So that's what we did. But, you know, it was some interesting questions. And some asked the question, what is the proper age to get married? And then they had at the bottom, while I'm still in school. I didn't laugh at the question because that meant something to them. You know, sometimes you ain't careful, somebody can ask a question and it don't seem like it's important to you. You might go like, duh, that's wrong. Because it's important to them. So we had to answer that question. And because, you know, I'm pretty sure they ran across the quote where the prophet of God said, let your children marry young. And I believe that quote. Amen. But, you know, young today ain't like young was back then. It's totally different now. Amen. Young back then, you had young girls 11 and 12 years old. They could run a household by themselves. They could cook and do everything. They could literally run the house. They was young in age. They was young in age, but they were mature in their spirit. But it's kind of switched today. Amen. They're young. I'm going to leave that alone. But anyway, praise the Lord. So I just told them, I said, you know, I said, I think that's one of the most wonderful things I find around the message where many have just kind of dropped the ball on. And I'm just saying that from the depths of my heart. I think that when young people, because there's a lot of distractions in this day, but I think it's the most wonderful things when young people can get married when they're young. And but you find what don't happen today, and scientists even tell you some of the things I'm getting ready to say. You know, sometimes some young people get married, and then when they get married, then they'll find themselves in marriage, start acting childish, trying to go back to teenage stuff. There's a reason for that. And the reason is when they was a teenager, they tried to live like a grown-up. And they never did really enjoy their younghood life. So now they don't got married. Now they out on their own. Now they want to go back acting like a child. Those things don't work. That's why I encourage young people to enjoy your life while you're young in the Lord. Can we say amen? And just enjoy the Lord. Live a life of singleness with the Lord. And just, you know, enjoy the thing that young people used to enjoy. And just, anyway, I guess I'm 50 years old. We had different enjoyments. I mean, we enjoy walking in creeks. Amen. Amen. We enjoy looking on the rocks, trying to find crawfish, and we just enjoyed it. But today, ooh, the closer they get to water is a picture on the iPhone. But those are the things we enjoyed. We just did. And but, you know, but we're living in a different generation in different times, but it's still the same word. Amen. Is that right? So, you know, and I was just sharing with them, you know, so you're still in school and you want to get married. I said, that's a good thought. I said, I don't think you want to entertain that too much. Amen. I said, you finish your schooling, but serve God while you're in school and pray. and God, those things will fall into place. Amen. Because, you know, I just don't understand. I can say some stuff right now. I might get in trouble, but I'm going to stay right on this missionary thing here. Amen. But, you know, it was a good question. And another question was asked. It said, the young people asked the question. They said, is it all right to lend somebody money when I lent them some and they didn't pay me back? Should I lend it to them again? They said, I feel real bad because they asked me again and I won't do it and I feel real bad. I replied, well, don't feel bad. I mean, if they done it to you one time, they'll do it again. I said, the best thing for you to do, I said, if they didn't pay you back, just leave it alone. I said, but, you know, and it's a real tough situation there. And then, and the question was, then I had another question, said, if you lend somebody money, can you charge them interest? I said, well, according to the scripture, you can't. According to, I think it's Exodus chapter 22, you can't. Now, the Bible makes it plain, you can charge a stranger interest, but you can't charge a believer interest. I said, now, if your friend works in a bank, I said, you do not go down there and say, you know, we're brothers and sisters, you can't charge interest. I said, yes, they can, because that's their job. I said, we're talking about from hand to hand, from their money. I said, you cannot do that. Because I think somebody was maybe thinking that. I said, no, that's their job, that's their business. I said, but according to scripture, I can only tell you what scripture says. So that was just a few, just a couple of the questions that they asked. And then, you know, another question was asked that, could God show a sister who her husband is? Because, you know, some got it put in their mind so much that the man was to have the vision of who his wife is. You know, I think that goes both ways. I think God can show a young girl who her husband is just as much as he can show a man who his wife is. Because you remember, it's been a while since I read it, that was kind of happened to Brother Branham. When his wife was praying, should she marry him, she turned into her Bible, and it turned to Malachi 4, behold, I send you Elijah. And then the prophet, and Brother Branham said, God told him when to marry, what date to marry, and so forth like that. I believe those things works on both ends. Amen. And the thing about it, when God is in it, is real precious. Praise the Lord. I really believe those things. And, you know, it's a lot of things happen over there. But I'm just kind of starting off here with this. I'm not going to keep you all night. Don't worry about that. And then they asked the question. They said, we as youth face challenges. Then they said, do you? That's interesting. Because sometimes young people can get it in their mind that adults don't go through nothing. We face challenges also. Amen. And as a parent, you face challenges. Some challenges as a pastor you face, am I too hard on my child? Should I lighten up a little bit? That's a challenge. God, give me a balance. I don't want to be so hard on my child till I run them away. Then I don't want to be too light until they get into a bunch of stuff that I could have stopped. Those are challenges. Can we say amen? And adults got challenges in life. The Bible, I think it's in the book of Ecclesiastes, it talks about serving God while you're young, before the days of evil come, before you get up under all of the pressures of life. Serve God while you're young. Because every one of us got challenges. And most of the challenges the young people go through to today, a lot of them we didn't face when we was young. But the thing that I focus on myself is not the challenges. I focus on the one that can take you through the challenges. Because when you know who you are in the gospel and you got an experience with God, it makes no difference what challenge come. He'll help you through those challenges. So sometimes many people just focus on what they're going through, but not focusing on the one that can take them through. Can we say amen? And that is the truth. So that was another question that was asked. I'm just seeking. I find another one right quick. There was one on here. I thought it was. I guess one of the major ones, because it was put there several times. How shall I know I'm filled with the Holy Ghost? And that's a question to a lot of people, even not just children. It's an adult. And I could tell you one thing, brothers and sisters. Brother Branham said that we're living in an age that the devil can make you think you're not saved, and you are saved. Then he can make you think that you are saved when you're not saved. He put it both ways, actually. But when it comes to the end of the day, I believe every individual, you will know when you are born again. You will have to know. It's just like, for instance, in the morning, you and I don't hear the sun come up, but it comes up. You can be in your house, you don't hear it come up, but then something, you feel the effects of it, that, hey, the sun is up. And I believe we don't go by feelings, we don't go by emotion, but I do believe in every born-again believer heart, you know that he's there. And I like the way Brother Branham explained it to a man one time. He was talking to him about God. He said, did you believe in that? He said, oh, do you believe in that nonsense? Brother Branham said, I believe in that with all of my heart. He said, well, you believe that there's a God just because you read it in the Bible. He said, that's one part of it. He said, but the reason why I believe, he said, because God is in my heart and I have an experience with him. And then the man asked him, said, well, how can you prove that God is in your heart? He said, all you got to do is go back to what I used to be and see how I'm living now. That's how he answered that question. And I thought that was a very profound answer that the prophet of God gave him. And you can find that quote in the message, believest thou this, believest thou this. That's what he was talking about, this man in that right there. And I said, that's real good. Because one thing about a Christian walk, it's an individual walk. You know, we can't go by group efforts. The Bible says, seek your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. And I know there's all kind of different teachers and doctrines and things. I'm not going to get into all of that. But I just encouraged them to keep walking in the Lord. And then, of course, we went through the plan of salvation, justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I let them know the main thing you got to realize, it's a work that God is doing in your life. It's not you doing the work. Can we say amen? It's a work that God is doing in your life. And there are some quotes that I could use, but I just won't get into that. Let me just kind of stay with this. But I just told them you would know. But we went through a lot of scriptures and stuff, but that was just a real good a question. And then I had a question come in. They said that I have a best friend, not a believer, but they're my best friend, and they don't influence me. They're my best friend. Say, is that okay? Now, that's a pretty tricky question. My challenge to them was, they're not a believer, and they're your best friend. I said, now, here's the fact. The prophet of God says this. When you're hanging around somebody, you keep hanging around them, they're either going to come like you, or you going to come like them. I said, now, I'm just telling you what the prophet of God said. Ain't no way around it. I said, I know you're sitting out there. I said, now you say they don't influence you. I said, but how are you weighing that? How are you judging that they don't influence you? Are you judging it by the word that they don't influence you? Are you judging it by your personal feelings that they don't influence you? I said, all right. I said, have best friend ever came to church? I said, you ever invited best friend to church? I said, for you to be best friends, you got to have something in common. I said, now, what do y'all have in common? What do you and best friend got in common? Is it the gospel? Because if it was the gospel, I believe they'll be sitting in church with you. See, something don't line up with that, do it? Can we say praise the Lord? I hope I ain't stepping nobody a foot, because that question might apply to you too. Because, you know, when young people ask questions, if one person asks, it usually bounce around. Some got the same thing. You know, I believe exactly what Brother Bradham said. When your children get older, there ain't too much you could do of some of the friends they select and choose. Because, you know, we shelter them, and then they got to go get jobs, and they get out there amongst people and mingle with them. We ain't got too much control of that. But I think the power of the whole thing is teach them right while they steal it in them while they're young to hang around the right friends. Amen. Can we say amen? He said in the COD book, he said, keep your children around Christian company as much as you possibly can. And that's a big impact on their lives while they're young. I know some let their children get around worldly people, not just, well, even denominational people, because they didn't have no other friends to go around, but they permitted it to happen. And you know what happened? It don't influence them now in their adult life. Amen. That's another challenge with parenting. If you're going to keep your children from hanging around different people, you need to hang around them. You got to hang around them to fill that void. You be their buddy. You be their best friend. Amen. And when we take things from the young people, you got to give them something back. Right? And the best thing you can give them back is yourself and your time and your attention. Can we say amen? Praise the Lord. Don't let the PlayStation and Xbox become the babysitter. Hello? Computers and Facebook, all these things just become babysitters and stuff like that. We shouldn't do those things, because that the Bible said train your child the way it should go. And that's a challenge in being a parent, training the child. Whether it go that way or not, you still train them. You're just planting seed, hoping that some way you know that they're going to take the Holy Spirit to even quicken the seeds, the things you've been planting them anyway, but we still do our job. Is that right? So, you know, that's why I challenge them about their best friend. I said, who is your best friend? Why are they sitting in church? What do you have in common? Because when you got a best friend, something attracts you to be best friend. It's something that has to be there to attract you to be a best friend. Is that right? Praise the Lord. But let me just jump off of these things here. And I got to say this one. It said, can a sister tell a brother I love you? That's the question they ask. Can a sister tell a brother I love you? I said, well, why are you telling that for? You ain't in courtship or nothing like that, and there ain't nothing going on, or you sneaking, or talking to each other, saying I love you? I said, well, I said, you need to help me with that question. I need to know why you asking me this question. Amen. I mean, when you get married, you're supposed to tell you, say, yeah, I love you. So I said, but a lot of things that young people don't realize in the young stages of life, when you words carry spirits. Can we say amen? And boys are the best professors of it. They can talk. Amen. Say right words and get a girl mind all messed up with words. I don't think those things are right. I'm pretty hard on things like that because I know the damage that it don't cause to young girls. And it really pretty much destroyed them. Because a boy played with words, got into her head, what we call it, and it messed them up. And the reason why, I tell you, if you go to the message, I can't remember the title, Brother Branham dealt with a situation like that. It was a boy named Johnny. And Brother Branham talked about how Johnny is talking to this girl, and he said what this girl had did got caught up. Johnny went and got married to another girl, but he told the girl, told this girl, my father made me marry this other girl. Brother Branham said, that's nonsense. He said he didn't love you right in the first place to go marry another girl. But she kept saying, I know Johnny loves me. I know Johnny loves me. I know Johnny loves me. That's what she kept saying. And Brother Branham said what she did, she got caught up and formed a world. She formed her world around that boy because of the words that he told her that he loved her, yet he don't marry another woman. But he said what happened, God showed him something, a transaction that happened between him and her. He said and she knew only that her and that boy knew it. He couldn't have known it. When he told her that, all of a sudden she snapped out of it. He said, and when she snapped out of it, and I like what he said, he said, now that you're out of there, he said, now look towards Calvary. So you can hear so many words. A boy can speak to a girl so much till it creates a world. And that world becomes whatever he says, his words and his word. Well, he said this and he said this. He said he loved me. I'm sure he probably told your cousin he loved her too. This other sister done told her the same thing. Because if it was true godly love, he would do things according to scripture. So that's not love. Can you say amen? But I believe that there's a coming time because y'all know all about courtship. Brother Barry teach it all the time. But the most beautiful thing when you enter into a courtship, I think one of the first things you need to know as you're praying to see if it's the will of the Lord, see if you and this individual can be best friends. That's right. See, you and her can be best friends. It's awful quiet. Praise God anyway. Let me move on here. But you know, pretty much y'all are very aware with Arusha, because that's the way we normally go. We had three services there in Arusha. They were some wonderful services. But my main purpose for going this time was to go to a town called Giata in Manyara. That's what the main, that was the plan word, but we stopped in Arusha. And Brother Elias, bless his heart, because he had to interpret every service. I preached 13 services over there, and I supposed to preach 15, but we canceled two. And I'm glad they did, because it was getting pretty rough. But we went from Arusha, and then we went to Giata. I'm sorry, I had thought about even putting just the maps on up, but I just didn't have time, so y'all just forgive me for that. But Giata is a place that we flew. We had to go to the airport. It's just an hour flight. But the flight wasn't what was bad. It takes about 5.5 to 7 hours to drive to where we needed to get to. That was the miserable part. And the brother, they didn't have too much wisdom, because, and Brother Elias was pretty upset about it, because they had us packed literally like sardines in that car, driving all those hours. And that was very, very, very painful. It really was. Because, you know, you got to preach and you got all this uncomfort going through. Then they want you to preach all these services. That don't work too good. But, you know, Brother Belial said, "Brother, I'm sorry." He said, "I told him what to do." I said, "Well, brother, it's all good." So what we did, when we drove about 5 hours, and then when we come to the border to go across to get over to Giata, that's what it's called. You got to catch a ferry boat. And I tell you, brother and sister, it was a lot of people out there. And then we had to get out of the car, and the brother that was driving the car, he had to drive in alone. We had to walk through the border, then go back and meet him and get back with him when we get up on the ferry, because only the person that's driving can stay positioned in the car. You have to sit on the outside. You know, this was my first time ever going to a border, so I didn't know what was going to happen when we got there. But when we got to that border, I think what killed me, probably out of everything out of that whole trip, when I seen the beggars there. I'm talking about with no fingers, no toes, just a little nub. And then some with no fingers, no toes, and pretty much no eyes. You can't take it. I mean, and they got a little cup just listening for a sound. That tore me up. And I'll be honest with you, I had some change in my pocket. And I just started pulling it out and just dropping it in cups. And then you can see them shaking it. I felt pretty good. I thought I'd done something. I said, "There's going to be a blessing to them." And you know, because they look at you like, "Brother, that's too much for them." I said, "How can you say that's too much for them?" I said, "Brother, this might be something they never ever get a chance in their life. Somebody would give them this amount of change, which is not much." I said, "I'm glad you told me it's too much for them." I said, "That's a blessing for them." But when I walked around the curve, it was a whole nother line of them. And I had to give everything away. I guess that out of the whole trip, it would not get out of my mind. And it really tore me up. And then we had to wait forever for the ferries to come just to get to the other side. And then you had a longer drive. Now, we was in an area where they pretty much really never seen a white man. So Brother Steve was very popular. Steve Fulkerson was very popular. I mean, they literally shaking his hand and rubbing it. Is this really real? He just, being Steve, he's speaking in Swahili that he knows. I said, "Praise God." And then they looking at him, just staring at him. I said, "Wow." I said, "I'm just glad they're not violent in that area, you know. I'm just glad they're not violent." And then we got across on that ferry, and brothers, you're talking about a miserable drive. It really was. I'm getting to the good stuff in a moment. I'm just telling you what we had to go through just to get there. Then we finally, I was prepared for meager accommodations. I was just prepared for the worst. I really was, because that's what my mind was set, because that's what I thought we were going, just to live in sleeping hammocks or whatever. It didn't matter to me. I just wanted to go share the gospel. And then it was dark, and then it was a motel. We went. It's called Motel Paradise. It's and when you turn into it, you can't tell too much because it's dark. But when we got back up in the daytime, I see why they call that Motel Paradise. It's actually a gated paradise. But once you come out of those gates, you see everything bad that you want to see. So that's why they call it Motel Paradise. And I'll be honest with you, it was just $25 a night. And it was the best, and it was a nice place to sleep in. And I enjoyed that. And then as we now we get ready for the services, I did not know, but the brother told us, because them brothers in that area never had a guest minister to come from out of the state, only just brothers from maybe in Africa and local areas. They was actually so excited till they went to their government and told them, we got preachers coming from America. This never happened here. They invited government officials. They just went around inviting. I don't know if that was good or bad for me, because I just don't know how the system works. But when we got there, and I did not know, I was pretty honored to do a church dedication. They had their little plaque with my name on it, just like Brother Barry did with the office building in Arusha. I thought that was pretty humbling to be able to dedicate the service. And then, of course, when we got there, they never had a white brother in that area, but Steve was popular again, and they just staring at him. And we was taking pictures. I told one brother, Brother Elias, when they were taking, I know they said, let's take pictures. I noticed I was just standing there. I said, Brother Elias, I said, I honestly don't think they want us in the picture. I said, I think they want Brother Steve. He said, really? I said, yeah. He said, well, let's test it then. I said, all right. He said, you and I are just going to walk away. And when we walk away, let's see if they still take pictures. He said, that'll be the test. I said, all right. So we walked away. And guess what? They didn't even know me. They didn't know me, but I was even gone. They're still taking pictures. And I hope I'm not saying nothing too out of order here, but there was one funny scenery. I just couldn't let it go. I do have the pictures, but I'll send those pictures to Jeremy. And by me just telling you these things, if you see the picture, your memory will go back to what I talked about. You know, they got outhouses there. And when the services was over, Brother Steve went in one of the outhouses. And there was some ladies walking across the road, and they stopped. I seen them. I could just read their mind. What was actually going on in their mind was that a Munzungu. That means white man, Munzungu. Went into there. And I'm looking at him, and I looked at the toilet. I said, Steve, come on out. They're waiting on you. He said, what? I said, brother, they're waiting on you. And just show us the world. When he came out, they were like, I said, brother, go on over there and shake the hand. He walked over there shaking the hand. I'm just taking pictures. And he was pretty popular. I hope he don't get the survey. He'd probably be mad at me. But he was pretty popular. And you got a bunch of little young kids looking at Brother Steve, just staring at him like, is this real? Now, they staring at him. Is this real? And then they hear him speak Swahili. Then they stare at me. They say, you can't be black. You don't speak Swahili? And you're black? I'm like, hey, I'm from America. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. It was kind of funny. One woman was just like, and I asked the interpreter, I said, what? He said, brother, she don't understand why you don't speak Swahili. I said, tell her I'm an American. I'm an American. I just don't speak it. I wish I could. A lot of funny things happened over there, but I'll be honest with you. What was most supreme was the word. Every service was different. And some of the doctrines that they had over there, Brother Barry called me and told me what kind to expect. And I did run into them. some of the doctrines and things that was over there. You got teachings over there. You got one group throw away your Bible and only read message books. Then you had another group throw away the messages and only use your Bible. So these questions came. And then you had a group preaching that we're in the millennium. They honestly believed that. I guess I'm a little bit different because I had an idea that in the service that we were having, some of them was sitting out there believing that. When I can detect that somebody's preaching that and they believe that and spreading it to the people, I just like to challenge them open. That's just me. Everybody don't do that, but that's just me. I like to just challenge them openly. Because I believe if you challenge them openly, if they got something, they'll come. But then if you challenge them with the scripture and show them where they're wrong and they realize they ain't got nothing, they'll just sit there. Then the one that taught them that will now look at them and say, why aren't you saying to him what you've been teaching us? So now it puts the heat on them. That's just what I believe. So I said, now, brothers, I said, some of you teaching, we are in the millennium. I said, now, I just took it to a natural standpoint. I said, first of all, how could there be a millennium if it haven't been a rapture? When the rapture comes before the millennium. I wasn't going to get into all the technicality. But I just wanted to just get them to think, just reason with me a little bit. I said, now you believe you're in the millennium. I said, all right. I said, brothers, we are not too far from the Serengeti. I said, I want to give you a handful of straw, and I want to take you to the Serengeti and set you into a pride of lions. And I said, I want you to go feed those lions that straw. I said, now, if you're in the millennium, them lions going to eat that straw. I said, who's up for the challenge? If they be that, they would get that straw and walk right out there and find a lion and feed it to it. Nobody moved. Now, I'm not trying to say this to be funny. You might laugh, but you don't have to. But I was just making a point to them. I said, friends, if we are in the millennium, I said, I'm totally disappointed being in the millennium with dentures. I said, I'm disappointed. I was saying those things just to try to make a point to see how ridiculous the teaching actually is. And you know what? Those simple little things set people's mind free. Set their minds free. Those simple little things. See, we didn't got to go in there and say, let me break this down to you. We're going to go in over quote over here. Sometimes you just take just a little simple things. And the person can be like, wow. A light just turns on. And that's what happens. Then you got the teachings. This is where the scripture that we read in Samuel. I read the scripture for a purpose. You got the teachings that you only need the message. But you don't need your Bible. So I asked the question. So if you don't need your Bible and you believe the message, it's okay. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, where did the message come from? I said, where did it come from? I said, the message comes from the Bible. I said, now, for you to not believe the Bible, but you say you believe the message, I said, that means you believe the prophet. I said, amen. I said, all right. I said, when Brother Branham was behind the curtain of time, when he was asking where Jesus was and asking his all of these Branhams and so forth, I said, he said, I want to see Jesus. I said, you will, but he's just a little higher up. But you will. He said, because you would go first before the people or the message that you preach. I said, now, you say you believe the prophet. The prophet said that. He said, well, all of the others be judged. All of the other messengers be judged. He said, yes. And then he said, well, I only preach what Paul preached. And I said, then in heaven, they said, we're resting on that. I said, now, you say you believe the prophet, right? I said, but he said he only preached what Paul preached. I said, now, where did Paul preach? I said, where do you find Paul's preaching? I said, in the Bible. I said, you say you believe the prophet, and he only preached what Paul preached, and it come out of the Bible. I said, now how can you throw away your Bible? Just simple as simple it can be. And I asked another question. Some don't agree with this thing, but we only preach what's in our heart. I asked another question. I said, I want to ask y'all a question. I said, is Brother Branham your absolute? Hands went up everywhere. I said, now I got to ask you another question. I said, can you tell me where he preached he was the absolute? I said, where's your quotes? I said, you're saying the prophet preached something. You can't even show me where he preached it. Brother Branham never preached he was the absolute. He preached the Bible is the absolute. And that was one of the main services I preached over there. I titled it The Power of the Absolute. That was one of the main services. I said, listen, William Branham is the messenger, but the message is Christ. But the teaching that they got over there is worshiping a man, and that's not what the prophet taught. See, when you teach people, I'm thankful that they were baby churches, but we was able to come in to stir them in the right direction. Because if you teach that Brother Branham is the absolute, make him the absolute, and then if you see something down in the years where he maybe changed something and God gave him more revelation in a later year, it's going to crush people's hearts and say, whoa, he changed. See, because now they built up in the man. Hello? But if you stay with what he taught, he can even show the progress in his own ministry. He can even correct what he preached wrong later on in the years that people can realize, like James said, that Elijah is a man with such like passions as we. See, what people have done, they deified Brother Branham. But Brother Branham never taught those things. And that's where error can just shoot in now. People can get certain quotes and say certain things. Don't get me wrong. We know what a prophet is. The word comes to the prophet. We understand those things perfectly, but we don't worship the man. And that's why a lot of these other things have been able to be such an attack on Brother Branham, because many taught back in the years that he was the absolute. But he never taught that. So that was one of the biggest problems, too. So all them little doctrines can kind of shoot in and people can get all twisted up. I said, he's not the absolute. And then you got the one said, do away with the prophet, the message, and stay only with the Bible. They were sitting there. I said, okay. I said, can I ask y'all a question? I said, what is the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant, what you and I just read here in the Bible, it types Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the Word. But the ring of balance, if you notice here what we read in Samuel, it makes it so balanced for me. It said, Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. We understand that Samuel was ordained a prophet, but he was growing. Naturally and spiritually, Samuel was growing. But he never let none of God's word drop to the ground. And then the Bible says that, and all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. The thing I like about the scripture, they knew. It was no guessing. They knew he was the prophet of the Lord. Can we say amen? Amen. Verse 21. And it said, the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So how did God reveal himself to Samuel? By the word. So we see that Samuel was a word prophet. So I was building up a case here, show him that the only revelation Samuel had is what God gave him and what God revealed to him. Right? But if you notice in verse 1 in 1 Samuel chapter 4, it said, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Why did not it say the word of the Lord went to all Israel? It said the word of Samuel went to all Israel. I was showing the authority of a prophet. The prophet and his message become one, so his word was just the same as God speaking it. Brother Branham says this, even with, you remember in 1 Kings, when Elijah told Ahab, He said there will not even be neither dew nor rain fall according to my word. Didn't Elijah say that? He said according to my word. Could you just imagine how ridiculous that sounded to people back in that day? That's it. You a man. So you're going to tell me you the one going to call for the dew. You the one going to call for the rain. He said, Elijah, that's right. I'm the man. Could you just imagine how ridiculous that looked to them? Oh, come on. No way, anyway. See, here's the thing. Do you know dew is actually ordained to fall every night? Dew don't fall in daytime. Dew automatically, by nature, falls at nighttime. But according to Elijah's word, he even changed that. He said, that ain't even going to fall. They're going to show you how powerful that statement is. Not even dew. I can imagine in their mind, this man got to be crazy. I wake up every morning and there's dew there. But Elijah said, that ain't even going to be that. And the prophet God said, what happens? Prophets stay in the presence of God so long until they speak as God. But you know what? That's not only for them. For you too. Because there was examples to what God wanted to even do in our lives. So I was reading that. I said, now the word of Samuel came to all Israel. I said, now for y'all that want the message, this is for you. It said the word of Samuel went to Israel, the word that he got from God. Now, if you watch this story, when it talks about now the Philistine went out, and when Israel went out against the Philistines to battle, pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistine pitched in Aphek, the Philistine put themselves in array against Israel, and they joined the battle. Israel was smitten before the Philistines. They slew other army in the field, about 4,000 men. Notice, they went out to war, and they fought, and they lost. Right? Yeah. Watch the next scripture. Verse 3, and when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? No, now they're blaming their failures, their fault on God. Why have God smitten us? That wasn't God's fault. It was their fault. But notice now, watch. Let us fetch the ark. Which represent the Bible, right? The word. Other word, they're saying, let us get the Bible. Let us get the word and do what we got to do. The first word that they put in there is us. By them saying us, what they was not doing gone by God's provided way. I said, now church, think about it. Now they got the Bible. Now they got the word. They said, let's go fight again. I said, but they went out and fought the Philistines again. And the Philistines took the ark from them. But they had the word. They had the Bible. I said, and they lost. Right? Then we kept on reading. You keep on reading that chapter. When they finally seen how beaten they were, then they went to Samuel. Right? And what did Samuel do? Told them how to get their lives back in order, get their hearts back right, to get back with God. I said, now what happened? Now they went out and fought, and they won. I said, because what happened, they didn't go by God provided way to consult Samuel. But what Samuel, and they had the word, and they went out and lost. But when they came God provided way, Samuel got them to show them how to get their heart back in order with the word, then they went out and won. I said, so how are you going to separate the message and the Bible? Denomination got the Bible. But are they winning in this Laodicean age? No. They said, let us fetch it. We got the word. We got the word. I said, you might got the word, but do you have the revealed word? There is no way in the world you'll overcome Laodicea without knowing who your messenger are in this day. Because God sent a prophet in this day to restore the word back to show you how to overcome in this age. You see, when people leave the message, I just read to you in Samuel what they do. We don't need the message. We got our Bible. Let us fetch the ark. But are they overcoming? No. Because you can't separate one from the other. Is that right? when they got back to see, here's the thing. Remember what we read? They knew from Dan to Beersheba, Samuel was established to be the prophet. They knew it. They didn't guess it. They knew it, but you know what? They ignored him. And the ones that leave the message, they know that. They know Brother Brown was a prophet. Don't let them fool you now. They know it. But they got to ignore it. Because if they believe the prophet, they have to believe everything that was preached. And everything was preached, they don't like it because they want to go against how they want to live. So they'll have to kill the prophet, kill his testimony, and say, all right, let's do it. I said, all right, but I thought you believed the Bible. I said, why do you leave the message, then your life just deteriorate, but you say you believe the Bible? Because the only thing this message did, the message does, is take you back to the Bible. Brother Branham said Martin Luther and John Wesley had gospel truth. Right? But he said it is going to take those revealed truths to waken, actually turn the heart of the bride. See, gospel truth and revealed truth. Can we say amen? Amen. Gospel truth, Jesus walked across the water. Revealed truth, I can do it. Amen. It's revealed truth, brothers and sisters. God done brought the word, let us know we're supposed to be just like him. Not him dwelling around us, but him dwelling in us. That's the revealed truth. That's why you're living in the day. See, I deal with denominations all the time. That's why they're always telling you, I'm saved. But when you ask the question, are you full of the Holy Ghost? I'm saved. No, they ain't going to ask you. Are you full of the Holy Ghost? I'm saved. Because when you say you're full of the Holy Ghost, that brings a challenge. Well, because they know it's coming next. You're full of the Holy Ghost, but you're living like this. Will the Holy Ghost do that? You're not trying to do that to trap them, but you're trying to get them to see reality. Can we say amen? Amen. So that was one of the biggest challenges. We went over there, and I believe by God's grace, we broke some chains. We broke some minds were set free by the word of God that had been so indoctrinated at such an early stage in the word but we was able to just pull it back and bring a balance by God's grace. And I tell you, friends, I just asked him a question when he was in Africa. I said, you know, I notice whenever I say something or a preacher say the prophet of God said and then they quote it, I started to notice before they even finished quoting, you already up out of your seat, you jumping and screaming. I said, how do you know the prophet said it? Just because a preacher come from America and told you that? I said, how do you know? I said, one advantage we got over y'all, we got all of the messages. Y'all just got on them maybe 300-400. I said, but you assuming, just because I said the prophet said it, he said it. I said, let me tell you something, friends. Many of them said something the prophet said, and I can't find it nowhere. He didn't say it. So how do you know I'm telling you the truth? I said, I'm going to tell you something, friends. Whether you got all of the messages or not, the main thing you need to focus on if you're truly born again. I said, because if you're truly born again, somebody can quote something, say the prophet said, and it be wrong, and the Holy Ghost will go, nope. I said, you ain't even got the book, but the Holy Ghost will say, nope, nope. I said, so don't get caught up into man because we come from America. I said, don't do that, friends. I said, you're only robbing yourself. I said, because I didn't bring God to Africa. God was already there. I said, I'm just a brother. Just a brother to come to share the gospel with you. Because, you know, I don't want them to make them feel like they're down here and we're up here because we're from America. No, listen, we're brothers and we're sisters in Christ. I'm no different than you. And you're no different than me. That's what I project. But I say, study the message yourself. Whatever you got, get a hold to, you study yourself. And just love God. Because I'm going to tell you, some people can say ask you some questions. Well, the prophet of God said, I said, well, where did he say that? I'm not familiar with it. Well, I heard a brother. I said, well, that's where you messed up at right there. You heard a brother, but you didn't go find it yourself. And I believe that's what it ought to be. Seek your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. And when you ask a question, you can say, I know this because I know I studied myself, not because what mama, daddy, pastor said. I know for myself. I want to know him for myself. And that's been one of my most strong things in life. I remember in my younghood in ministry, being a Christian, I always kept looking at other people jump and shout and wanting to impersonate them. And then because they was jumping and shouting, I wasn't jumping and shouting. I thought I didn't have nothing. But you know, God revealed one thing to me. He said, whether you jump or shout, do you believe what was preached? I said, yes, I do. It's your word. He said, well, then what's your problem? See, we want to pattern ourselves after other people. Can you say amen? Amen. We want to pattern ourselves after other people. You know, sometimes a lot of evangelists get themselves in trouble. They go into a church, preach. Because the church ain't running around like the church that they just left running around. They got to get in their spirit and get mad. Then take quotes out of character. And say, well, the prophet of God said, anything that ain't got emotion is dead. That is wrong. Because I tell you right now, one thing I learned in ministry, you got to have a discernment that people pull from the inside. And you can feel it whether they say nothing or not. And many, that's harsh. Can you say amen? You shouldn't do things like that. Now, don't get me wrong. Amen helps now. It helps. But you don't have to say it for Burley Williams. I'm going to still preach anyway. Because when something on my heart, I just want to deliver it. Amen. Friends, I've seen those things, and it's just not right. Some pull from the inside. And you just got to have the wisdom to know. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand? I'm not good at doing missionary reports anyway, but I'm going to get those pictures to Jeremy. He's a mastermind with them kind of things. By the way, Jeremy, you influenced me to get an iPhone 7. You see one man influenced to another? When we was over there last year, he was taking those pictures. I'm like, man, his is clear. And I had an iPhone 6. Then he sent a picture from the iPhone 7 to the iPhone 6. It made my iPhone 6 look better. I said, I got to get an iPhone 7. Brother, you influenced me, man. But anyway, I like him. I respect him and how he can organize things. I like that. That's a gift. So I try to get those pictures and things, too. But it ain't going to be too much y'all haven't seen. And it really ain't. But like I say, it was some sad sights over there. But I tell you right now, I'm looking forward to going back again whenever that would be. So just be praying. Be praying for me, too. Next month, I'll be actually going to Ukraine. I'll be going to the preaching a youth camp. And I'm looking forward to that. I've never been to the Ukraine, but I do know it's the same devil over there. It's the same devil. I don't care where you go. You could be out in the desert. The devil, he out there, too. He's a devil. Is that right? But one thing I'm thankful, brother and sister, when you are born again Christian, make no difference where you go, you still act the same. You won't let a country or circumstances influence you. You'll live above it. And that's what I honestly believe. May God bless you. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we just took these little testimonies, oh Lord, and just try to grab a little here, grab a little there, and turn it into a sentence. Then grab sentences and put them together to turn them into a message. And then a message can come, and only you can reveal the content of it to our hearts. And I just ask and pray, Father, that you be with Brother Barry, be with my church back home as they're praying now. And I remember Sister Miriam, just keep her in the prayer. Touch her, Lord. She needs a touch from you. If there's any here tonight need a touch from you, whether physically or spiritually, Father, we just commit them into thine hand also. And Lord, we just want to thank you for our health and strength. And we just want to share these things that brother asked us to share upon our hearts. And Lord, in all things we say and do, we just want to give you all of the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you get a chance, read Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 7, Mark chapter 8. You remember when the woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment? She was made whole. That happened in Mark chapter 6. But when you go to, I think it's Mark 8 or Mark 7, You remember the story when Jesus fed the 5,000, then he told them to go over to the other side while he sealed the people off. And then the Bible said Jesus went way up into a mountain. Then when he went up into that mountain, that's when he seen the disciples towing and rowing. Y'all know why Jesus went up on top of that mountain? He went up on the top of that mountain because the higher an eagle goes up, the better they can see. When he was up there in that mountain praying, being real high, he was able to see better. Saw his disciples down there. But this is what I want you to see. What's so interesting, in Mark 7, that's when the woman touched the hem of his garment. But when Jesus and them got into the boat, he calmed the storm. And when they got over to the other shore, I can't remember the name of the city. If you look when Jesus and them got off of that boat, they start gathering people from everywhere. You'll notice in the scripture, they never asked Jesus to pray for them. They just wanted to touch him, his garment. But who taught him that? That woman's testimony from Mark 6 beat Jesus over there. That's why they didn't even ask him to pray. They just wanted to touch his garment because of her testimony. I like that. Food for thought. God bless you. You may come, brother. Can we get the Lord another hand?
Appreciate Brother Burley coming to be with us tonight. And, you know, I was just thinking how God has messengers that he can send, and they can go in with just a reverent spirit and straighten things out when they're going the wrong way. And just, they just have a special way about them. And God has those that he can use. And I believe he used Brother Burley in these situations. And we just thank God. He has everything under control, don't he? Just be when you call me.
can judge the Lord as He need a touch tonight. Hallelujah. So reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You will find He's not too busy just to hear your heart's cry. Sing it one more time. Hallelujah. Oh, reach out. He's here tonight. Shalom. As He goes by, you'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Brother Andy, come dismiss us in prayer tonight. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. It's been a blessing to be here. Blessing to hear Brother Burley and his experiences. Amen. Just pray for him as he goes up in other countries. I believe he said to Ukraine. Pray for him as he goes there, wherever he's going. God would just use him and meet the needs of the people.
Precious Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Lord, that we can hear your word being ministered to us, Father. Lord, we're even more grateful that you're in that word, Father, in that revealed word, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you that Brother Burley was here tonight, Lord. I believe it was ordained, Father, ordained by you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we would just ask that we could be a better witness, be a better testimony, Father. Lord, we may not be able to go to Africa or a different country, but Lord, help us to be the best testimony of your word here, Lord, wherever we're at, Father, as a wife, as a husband, as a brother, as a sister, as a co-worker. Lord, wherever we are, Father, help us to shine your light, Lord, in this dark and dying world. Lord, we ask that you would bless Brother Burley, Father. Give him strength. Give him traveling mercies, Father. We ask that you put a hedge of protection around him, Lord, as he travels to the Ukraine, Father. And give him that wisdom, Lord, that wisdom of the word to minister to the young people there, Father. Lord, we ask that you bless Brother Barry and his sons. Give them a wonderful time together, Father. And Lord, we ask that you just give us your protection the rest of the week. Surround us, protect us, guide our footsteps, guide our minds, Lord, guide our eyes and our ears, Lord. As we meet again at the appointed time, Lord, be with us. For we ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
It's Jesus I really want to see.
at liberty to go tonight.